Amen. Honor to have you guys that are listening, all of you that are here. Thank you. It's an honor to have you come hear the engrafted word of God. I want to try to end what I began a few months ago, maybe even a few weeks ago, about conquering life's conflicts with the understanding that the enemy wants to try to distract us. He wants us to get off of the call, move away from the roads that God's called us on, and he does that through trials and tribulations. Because if he can get you all confused and beat up, busted, disgusted, mad at life, and offended for whatever reason, then he's got a lot of control on you. And we don't need to allow that to happen, especially in these days, because we all know the days are getting a little bit worse. We're seeing some things because of social media that, you know, just a few years back, you would never see like you're seeing today. And so we think that it's really worse in the third world countries, but really it's been that way since the beginning of time. They've been rejecting God, persecuting Christians and so on, the Jewish people. But we got to learn how to conquer whatever is trying to destroy us as believers. And thank God we have the blood of Jesus. Amen. Say amen. Amen. I mean, we have God on our side. Now, at our church, I'm hoping that you have some boldness come on you as a believer in Jesus Christ, because when you do, and I'm not saying pride, I'm not saying arrogance, that haughty spirit that the Bible talks about, we don't live under that as believers. And you don't want to be one of those people. But there ought to be a boldness to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Look at me. There ought to be a boldness that you know who you are in Christ. Because if he's your Lord, if he's the Lord of your life, man, you got some authority. Amen. The Bible says at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. Amen. But most believers just, they've never been taught stuff like this. So they just think, thank God I've got the helmet of salvation on. I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth. And then they really don't know how to operate as a Christian here, like the days of the Apostle Paul, the days of John the Baptist, and so on. But I'm telling you, brother, when, you know, Skip knows who he is in Christ Jesus and the doctors say you don't have long to live and you got cancer and it's killing you, when you know the power that lives on the inside of you, you didn't stand for that, did you? You said, no, I'll not die, but I'll live in Jesus' name. And then all of a sudden you're still here. What are you doing here? The devil like, what? What's going on here? You know, well, I mean, I thought I had you. And you said, negatory, Ghost Rider. You didn't have me. And so I hope to end it. And if not, I'll just continue it next time. But if I titled this message for you guys in the back, here's what it'd be entitled, Principles of War. I mean, because honestly, if you read this Bible, we win. Yeah. Say that, we win. We win. We have victory. Matter of fact, the very thought of winning implies a contest or a battle. Because we're winning at something. It's either a contest or it's a battle. Well, obviously, we know as believers that we're battling principalities and powers of darkness constantly through temptation to do things that are not right. Matter of fact, I still am convinced that the enemy has tried to, and he's got into the church even, that what was wrong back in grandmama's day has become right. And what was right in Grandpa's day has become wrong today. And it's backwards. And of course, we understand that being the end times. Preachers have preached that for generations and generations, that Jesus is about to return. Well, I believe he is. And we're going to keep preaching it. That's why the Bible says that to look up, your redemption draws nigh. Keep looking up. There could be any day that archangel appear and shout like a trumpet. And then we know what the Bible says, the dead in Christ are raised. And then us that are living, serving God, born again Christians, will be called up to meet Jesus in the air. I'm telling you, don't you think like a lot of kids think, like that's a fairy tale, because it is truth, brother. I'm telling you, it's real and it will happen one day. We got to be ready, though. We got to know that then when the enemy knows that the end is coming, that's why there's attacks on good people. There's more divorce in the church than there is in the world. Why is that? Well, because the devil's trying to ruin what God established, the principles of marriage. By the way, between a man and a woman. Anyway. Not afraid. I mean, when I stood before the Senate in Texas and beside the governor when he asked me to come, and that's not a time to be timid. That's a time to say, you know what? It's us preachers' fault. And those other preachers, I told y'all, those other preachers that were at the same table that I was at with the governor, they were like, what? It's our fault? I said, yeah, because most of us are afraid that we're going to lose our 501c3 if we dare say anything that the Word of God declares as truth. And we shouldn't be afraid of anything. Because what God starts, He'll finish. Amen. You don't have to live in fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. We live in faith, thank God. Okay? So, concerning principles of war, there's a spiritual conflict that you need to know exists against the body of Christ. The devil's job, according to John 10:10, is to come not but for to, say it with me, steal from you, kill from you, or kill you, and destroy. That's his job. We keep reading, though, because Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and more abundant life, man. I major on that, not just on the devil trying to steal, kill, and destroy, but I understand that's his job. I understand that he does not want me to live in the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, and so on. He wants me to live in fear, because if I live in fear, he's got me off of where I'm designed to go, praise God. This is where we're all designed to go. And so, I wrote down a couple of things, like the reason there's a spiritual conflict is because it's God's people, all of us, that God uses to reveal his wisdom to the principles and powers in the heavenly. I mean, God wants us to preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's wanting us to proclaim victory. Hey, you don't have to die of disease and sickness, because the Bible, here's what we're to proclaim, because the Bible says no disease or sickness shall come near our bodies. So what I'm doing is, that's what you should be doing. I'm just declaring what the Word says. No, no, no. No disease or sickness is supposed to come near our bodies. So when it comes, why would we then think, well, that's just part of life? Because that's what's got us in the messes we're in anyway. It's not speaking that Word of God, see. So there's a conflict. And the devil's mad. He does not want you speaking life over your body. No, he wants you to get out of here. He wants you to die. And the devil, y'all, is no respecter of persons. I mean, just because you don't serve him, he will still kill, steal, and destroy your life. Trust me. He does not like anyone, because his nature is not good in any way. Okay, class, say it with me. God is good, and the devil is bad. If you understand that, you'll understand the Word of God. You won't have a lot of problems, because then anything you read that would seem bad to a believer is not God. Sickness and disease is not from God, y'all. He's got to allow it, but he doesn't cause it. No, there's a devil. There's a tempter. So when you understand that conflict exists because God's people are used by him to reveal the wisdom and principalities and the powers in the heavenlies, so that we can defeat the enemy here on this earth, just like he's already defeated in heaven. That's why the Bible says, whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. So we are to be living here like there, right? I noticed that the leaders in the Bible kind of understood this, because it was the leaders in the Bible who successfully moved God's people through difficult times. Man, they had a firm grip, I noticed, when you really study it all out, on the promises of God and the principles that would cause us to conquer the conflicts of life. So I want to give you a few things that you have to know as a believer in Jesus Christ. Some principles, things to know. Number one, the strength of Satan's kingdom is sin. You've got to know that. The strength of Satan's kingdom is sin. Temptation and strong desires of the flesh that really wars against your mind. I mean, oh Jesus, I stand up here and talk about alcohol and how I don't do it. You want to talk about making people mad in this church? Well, you know I'm not afraid of making anybody mad. You better get over it. Amen. I'm going to love you right through it. But I'm here to tell you, I've never seen anything good happen or come from alcohol, ever. Yeah, don't you be messing with my glass of wine. I'm not. It's up to you. It's none of my business. But I'm here to tell you, that's the enemy sneaking in on the church people. Well, just have one. It's no big deal. Well, the problem, though, is if you haven't ever been taught the generational curses, my great-great-granddad was a drunk. He lost the ranch in New Mexico in a poker game. Well, don't think that doesn't make a cowboy upset. That could have been my ranch. And it was not the poker that did it. It was the alcohol that convinced him to say, I can't lose this hand. You would never think that would happen today. That's just old day stuff. It happens today. I know a very, very successful cowboy that lost everything in Las Vegas, because I go there and I minister and I know the problems. But it's just the enemy, the strategic devil, roaming, seeking whom he may devour. And he does it subtly, y'all. Please don't be mad just because I don't agree with Christians and drinking. Well, number one, it could cause lots of trouble if I was to drink in front of someone. Oh, that's a preacher. And then I would lose all credibility. Well, wait a minute. Why is it just the preacher? I'm just trying to help you not get entangled in the strength of Satan's kingdom. Now, you do what you want to. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian or you're not a good person or whatever. I'm just saying, if you don't understand generational curses, you might be the one that can't handle it. Here's something else that you've got to know. Besides the strength of Satan's kingdom is sin, is his job is try to absorb your energy. In other words, Satan can successfully stop our progress by simply redirecting the focus of our attention. Because I believe it's the focus that will determine the direction and level of your faith and energy. Look at Luke. Now, I told you to, did I tell you to turn to 1 John?
No.
No? Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Because I want you to see a scripture in verse, I think it's in 7, in 3, 8, verse 8. Let me make sure I'm here. First John chapter 3 and verse 8. Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, and the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Thank God for that, y'all. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, how many of you know that because of Jesus we win? Because of Jesus, we have victory. But now, flip over to Luke's gospel, just to your left, Matthew, Mark, Luke, before John, and look at chapter 11, Luke's gospel, and chapter 11. And look at, go all the way to the end almost, to about verse 34. Because focus is real important, and that the enemy can take our focus off something. I mean, most of us have had dreams, right, and visions. We believe God for something, but when you're doing it God's way, you have to have a lot of patience. I mean, a lot of patience. And I mean, I understand now, faith, that we want things now, but there's a lot of times that we have to have patience to let God remove a lot of the junk, a lot of the religion, a lot of the things that need to get out so that we can receive and manifest the things that we're believing for. So focus is really important for us. Look what Luke chapter 11 verse 34 says. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single, or in other words, when it's focused on something, the whole body is also full of light. One translation says when your eyes are single or focused or sound and fulfilling its office, your own body is full of the light. See, distractions are very, very dangerous to a believer, because that's what the enemy wants to cause the stoppage. He doesn't want us to see the promised land, you see. And the distractions that the enemy uses comes in some crazy forms. They can be friends. I mean, think about it. The Bible talks about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. But man, I bet all of us have a friend that's not a believer. Do you? Is it just me? Well, the reason we have friends that are unbelievers is we want them to be believers, right? We just don't want to throw them away. But don't yoke yourself to an unbeliever. I mean, stay yoked with a believer, because that's where the power is. But they can be distractions a lot of times. Our friends, I mean, it's happened so many times that a friend will tell another friend, and they're usually young people, "Oh, let's just do this," you see. Another distraction can be family, their opinions. Oh man, you want to talk about getting in debate with family members about the Lord? Ooh, Jesus. All it's designed to do really is become a distraction. Because, you know, if y'all start fighting, and that there's no more unity, happens in churches all the time. Distraction can come from even Christians. Again, questions over the Bible doctrines that become a distraction from the true purpose of God's work. But man, when your eye is focused on God's promise and plan, it will fill you with the direction and the strength of Jesus' light. Say amen to that. I never forget. Think about this too. You ever been to a circus? Raise your hand if you ever been to a circus. If you ever seen a trainer get in the cage with a dangerous cat, back when they first started, they would have three things: a whip, a gun on their side, and a chair. Right? A stool. I always wondered, what the heck is the stool for? Because I understood the whip. And I mean, if you ever seen anybody crack the whip, pa-pa, boy, it kind of scares anything. And I understand that gun. Uh-huh. That's some gun attack me. He's going down. What the heck is the stool for? Well, when you really think about it, that trainer, when you talk to him, they put that stool in front of that cat because then the cat focuses on the four legs of the stool all at once. And man, what is all of those? And it causes the cat not to spontaneously make any responses to that trainer. So really, they say the stool is the most important part of that trainer's equipment to be protected, see? Because it distracts the cat. Same thing in our lives. Man, we're distracted by a lot of things that we look at once. Television, what music we listen to, news. I mean, we are distracted all the time from what really we need to be focused on. That's why the Bible says, forget those things that are behind and press forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Because if you focus on all the junk and all the distractions, it's geared so that you don't receive the blessing of God. It's dangerous, see. Look at just a few things that I want to go to 2 Chronicles, and I'll just end here. How about that? 2 Chronicles, because I want to leave you just with some scripture about being in the principles of war, how we get to be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Go to the front of your Bible and start flipping. You'll find Chronicles and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Here's what I want to really leave you with this morning. Because again, when you come to church, you shouldn't just feel good for a moment. Man, you ought to be able to take that gospel out there and live. Because the distractions really are not in here, right? I mean, we're all in unity. We're all wanting to hear about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're wanting to hear about all the good stuff, you know. And you do. You hear about all the good stuff, but you got to know that there's a devil. And he doesn't like you. Matter of fact, he hates you. He does not want you to succeed. He wants you to be upset, angry. He wants you to live in divorce. He wants you to be in debt. He wants you to be sick. He's wanting to distract you from really receiving the promises of God, the principles of God. So look at what 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 7 says, be strong. Say that with me. Be strong and courageous. Say it. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, because that's what the enemy does. He tries to get a lot of people to come against you Look, they're a fanatical Christian. They think they're better than us. I mean, oh, look, he's sick. I thought he was a Christian. Always talked about being blessed of the Lord, highly favored of God. Look at him, he's sick. He just thinks he's better than you. I mean, all the enemy tries to do is get people in agreement. Oh, yeah. I mean, they tried to make this church a beer-drinking church out there in Liberty Hill. That spread like wildfire when we first moved here. Yeah, go to Cowboy Church. They're a beer-drinking church. They probably didn't know that we got drunk on the spirit and not the real stuff. The enemy's constantly trying to get us down. But the Bible says, but you be strong and courageous, for there is more with us than with him. In other words, if God be for us, who could be against us? Come on, shout amen. If God be for you, who could be against you? I mean, God's on your side. And God, he made you in the image of him. He made you in his likeness. He's given you the key to the kingdom. He sent Jesus for you and I. He said, all you got to do is just use the name that's above every name. Well, that's pretty important, right? Because the name of Jesus is above every name, like cancer.
Yes.
So Jesus is above cancer. So then that means cancer doesn't have to kill you. Jesus' name is above divorce. So we don't have to get in divorce. Jesus' name is against debt and lack. So I don't have to be in lack or debt, not another day in my life. Jesus' name is against and above the devil.
Amen.
Well, he's under our feet anyway. So what are we afraid of?
Because he's our life.
Not with our Jesus. He's our everything. So the next time the enemy tries to bring a distraction in your life, what are you going to do? You've got Jesus on your side. Because there's a whole lot more people on our side than on his side. Matter of fact, when you read the end of the Bible and you understand that we win, it's because Satan gets thrown into this pit forever. But right now, he's the prince of the air. And that's why we come to church, to be taught how to live a victorious life and conquer the enemy. Last thing I'll leave you with, verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. In other words, man, we could just take a deep breath. God is on our side. We have victory. Yeah, maybe it's going to take a little bit of dedication to come to church and learn about our God. What's wrong with that? Yeah, but I've got football. And I've got baseball. And I've got all these kids' activities. And I, you know. So? Why don't you do like the rodeo people and have church there? I mean, do they have church at baseball stuff? Probably not. Football? No. But they do at a rodeo. That's why God's using the Western world today. Because there's cowboy church services going on all over the country right now. Man, come to church. Be a part of learning about the engrafted word of God that'll change your soul. And man, when you do, there's victory in everything that you do. What's wrong with living in the blessing of God?
Amen.
It's because we've never thought we could. You know, it's just life. No. The Bible says we live in the world, but not of the world. Do y'all agree? Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just